It is good to be back together. I always enjoy the time that we have as family. I love the relationship that we share. It's a joy to be able to have good family. It really is. We've got a responsibility as a family. And in order to have a taste of heaven, we have to be the family that God told us that we're supposed to be. And that means that there is a responsibility on each one of our shoulders to act in a certain way. We're all human beings. And there's not a one of us are going to get it right all the time. You know, we might try and we might desire. But, you know, we all make mistakes. And so as we look at the church being like a family, we're going to look at these 3 points this afternoon. And number one, that Christ is the head. And with him as the head, he's there whether we make him or not, but we need to make him the head. We need to put him in that place. And the second thing that we're going to look at this afternoon is that we must act like a family. And the third is we need to make the family an inviting place for others to come. And so as we look at Christ the head, you know, I know that I used to watch TV and the picture of a belligerent beer-drinking father that sat around and barked orders and crude and really didn't care about his family is the what I remember of television and the advertisement and the shows that were there. And naturally, I think television has a tendency to portray the worst examples that are out there. And they do that. But there is a lot of poor fathering out there. Now, we may see that in the world around us, but remember, we've got the Lord. And as Christians, we have Him as our head, and He is telling us what we need to do. That doesn't mean it comes easy. That doesn't mean that's what we want to do, but that does mean that He's in charge and He is telling us what we must do. And so we need to remember that when we look at the example of the world around us, we need to remember that Jesus isn't that way. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read verses 24 through 26. And it's talking about the husband being the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the body and the Savior of the body. It says, therefore, in verse 24, as the church is subject to Christ, so let their wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And so when we look at this passage, we see that Jesus has left us men an example of the kind of head that we're to be. He is that kind of a head. He was willing to make the sacrifices for his wife. He was willing to go out and to give up his desires, to do the things that his bride needed and the things that were good for his bride. He was willing to make the daily sacrifices as he prepared himself in growing and developing, as he grew in stature with wisdom and in stature and in favor with men and God. As we read in that passage in Luke chapter 2 yesterday in one of the lessons, and that's the way Jesus did. But he went through those motions, but he became what he needed to be. He made the sacrifices that he needed to make for his bride. And guys, we need to do that in our families. Young men, I want you to think about that. You know, you got to prepare yourself now to be a proper husband. Because what you are now is probably what you're going to be after you get married. And so keep that in mind. So you've got to be practicing now. You hear what I'm saying? Because if you don't have a proper care of those that are around you now, you're going to treat your wife the same way. In fact, I've always heard that it said, if young ladies, you watch a young man and see how he treats his mother. He'll probably treat you the same way. And if he's rude and disrespectful to his mother, guess what you're going to live with. You're going to live with a husband that is rude and disrespectful, will not treat you good. You hear that, young lady? Okay, so I want you to remember that. And so as you choose a husband to marry, you make sure that he treats his mama like a queen. Because if he don't treat her like a queen, he won't treat you like one. All right. And so, young men, I want you to be thinking about the same. You watch what that young lady does. You look at what's important to her. If you want to be a proper head, you've got to prepare yourself. And don't forget it. You look to Jesus. You see the things that he did. You see the love and concern and the sacrifices that he made for his bride. And if you're not willing to do that, don't subject some young lady to your abuse. You hear that? I think it's very important. I take it very seriously. God is a very loving and a kind and a compassionate husband. Jesus not only is the husband of the bride, but he's also the elder brother over his house. And I want to read this passage. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. And I want to read a little more than just the first couple of verses, because there's a lot there in this passage that I think is so very important. So it's a rather lengthy reading, but follow along with me. Now remember, this is talking about Jesus as the high priest, and he is the elder brother over his house. Now, in our society, the elder brother doesn't seem to carry the weight that it did in this society, but it carried with it a weight, a responsibility, and a concern and a care that that elder brother had over his family. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren," beginning in verse 1, "partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that had appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Notice Jesus was faithful. "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was a faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God." And so as we look at this, we recognize that Jesus is a son over his own house. He is our elder brother. He is the one that is in charge of the house. Now, in this context, the church is the house. You and I must give in to Jesus. Not always easy. We would rather do different things, right? You know, when you're young and being raised to as a child, you got to listen to mom and dad, right? Not always what you want to do. But one of the things that you got to remember, young people, is right now, that's when you're preparing yourself to live for God and to follow Him. That's why, as parents, we have a great responsibility to teach our children that they have to obey us. Not only that, but as parents, we've got to make sure that we are modeling God as God actually is. They look to us as God. They look to us and say, that's what God is. And if we're not a very good father, they're going to think, why would we want to follow God in the first place? And so we have a great responsibility on our shoulders, but Jesus is the elder brother over his house. Not only is he the head and the husband, but in the spiritual sense, he's the elder brother of the church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, we see that Jesus also has all authority over that body, the bride, the church. And it says, speaking of which God has done for and with Jesus, it says, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Notice it said all things. Now remember, the church is like a family. Jesus is the husband. We are to submit. And Jesus has all authority over all things to the church. And so that means that you and I, as the bride, must make sure we look to Jesus to see what Jesus wants. What does Jesus say that we must do? How are we to act? How do we treat one another? How do we live? How do we worship? What is right and proper in his sight? And so we look to him and his word to find out what he has to say. You know, one bad thing about absentee fathers, they're not there to give instruction to their family. They're not around. And so the children run rampant because they don't know that they even have any guidelines. Daddies need to be there for a reason. And so we in the church must recognize that let's make sure we keep Christ present in our lives. I like to read my Bible daily because I need the instruction. I need him to be telling me what it is that I need to do, and I can't do it without his help. I've got to have him there every day to tell me what to do. Because it's so easy to not have that instruction and go off in the wrong direction. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus will let you go any way you choose. Now, he cares. But he will not make you do anything. The judgments could be a little different. He will pronounce judgment. But right now, we have a choice. And so let's make sure that we follow Jesus as the head and follow all of the things that he says. The next thing we want to look at is that the church is like a family. And we need to act like a family. And probably I should put a modifier within that. And we should act like a godly family. A family is a wonderful place of comfort when it's done God's way. It's a place of security. And I look around at the world around me and I see so many homes that they're absent a mother or father. They oftentimes don't know who's going to be daddy this week because there was a different daddy last week. And there's no sense of security for the children. They have nothing to hold themselves together. They have nothing, no sense of belonging and no sense of comfort in their life because everything changes. I still remember the child on the playground that was talking to another child, and one of the children said, "Well, so-and-so is my daddy." And they said, "Oh, he's pretty nice. I used to have him as a daddy." Does that break your heart? We've got the same daddy. It's Christ. It's God. He hasn't gone anywhere. We might choose to leave him, but we're the ones that separated ourselves. One of the things that I think we need to understand that as a family is we need fellowship. You know, I really struggle with the assembly and those things and the time that we have. Fellowship is such a essential aspect of the Christian family. You know, and I look at those that don't have the sense of really the spiritual understanding that they need to be in the assembly at every possible time. And that fellowship is so valuable and so precious. I need the strength of one another's. And, of my entire family. And I know that when I see people that do not have that and they back off from that, it's for long they're in the world and they're gone. It just doesn't fail. I've seen it 100 times or more. And I see that a family that does not spend time together will not stick together. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son continually cleanses us from all sin." Now there's the walking in the light, but notice here that if we walk in the light, we have that fellowship. And fellowship is in sign language, it's two F's that kind of float. And so they're kind of mingling together. And that mingling together is so very important for us as Christians. We need to be that family. Yes, that can present some challenges. But that's where if we deal with challenges in the proper way, we will grow closer together and we will have a greater bond than ever before. But we have to be together. And I love the time that we get together. And I'm blessed because of my schedule. I probably get to spend more time with everybody than maybe anybody here. I don't know. But it's such a precious time. And it's such a faith builder. And it's such an encouragement to be able to be together and do things together and to interact. But that's a family. And the church is the most valuable family on the face of this earth. My physical family, in comparison, doesn't pale in comparison to the importance and the value of the family, the church. And so I need that fellowship and I need to be together so that we can grow and go forward and do much good in the kingdom. And so fellowship, as we look at this family and acting like a family, is so very important. In Acts chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, we see the responsibility that we have as the church to act like a proper bride. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything." Guys, you and I need to be subject to Jesus in everything. It's not always easy. Not necessarily what we want to do. But if we want to be pleasing to Christ, if we want to be the proper bride, we will give in. A bride that will not submit to her husband in a proper manner is going to create and devastate a family. Ruin a family. And so I know that it's not popular in our society. But when we realize that we are still to submit to one another, and a husband that loves his wife as his own body is going to treat her in a proper way, and that's probably a lot of the problem. Is men in our society certainly don't understand that. And so it makes it even harder for women. And so I've talked to numerous Christian women that had a man that was not a Christian. And she said, "How do I do that? How do I submit to this man that doesn't understand and doesn't act like a Christian?" And it's a challenge. We need to make sure that we act as a proper bride to Jesus. Now I want to make this comparison also in Titus chapter 2, because as we look at this, we recognize that being able to love your husband is not a natural thing. It's a learned trait. And Titus chapter 2, I believe, helps us to see this very clearly. It says in verse 3 and 4, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." You mean isn't loving your husband, isn't that just a natural outgrowth of being a female? Obviously not. And when you look at the world around us, we can see that they're not being taught to love their husbands, as husbands aren't being taught to properly love their wives. But it's a learned trait. So now when we bring that into the Lord's church, we need to recognize that you and me need to learn to love our husband, Jesus Christ. Christ is the one that made that parallel. So you and me, we need to learn to love Jesus. And the more time that we spend with Jesus, I believe the more we'll be able to learn. The more time we spend in the fellowship and acting like a family, the more that we're going to learn about loving Jesus in the way that we should. And so we need to act like a family as the proper bride. We need to go to Romans chapter 12 in verses 6 through 8, and we need to learn that as a family, we need to make sure that we pull our share of the load. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on a ministering. He that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness." Notice that everybody has a job to do. And in the Lord's church, in that proper family, we need to make sure that we do our job. It's kind of exciting. I mean, as I go out and vacation, I still get to talk to a lot of Christians. And I don't even remember who it was, but I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about the things that they could do, and there's things they couldn't do. And it just impressed on my mind that every one of us is different. Just because you do something different than what I do does not make me more important. The point is I need to do what I have the talents to do. You need to do things that you have the talents to do. And when you put them all together, a lot of good comes about. And we have a full cup instead of a cup that's just half full, and you're not getting things done. As a family, if we each will pull our share of the load and do what we can, and I personally think that do what you enjoy in the family of God. And if everybody will get in there and do the things they enjoy, I think that there is a massive amount of good that will be done, and the family will grow and go forward, and much good will come out of it all. So pull your share of the load, and then also act like God. Act like God. Romans 12, 9 through 13. It says, "Let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." In other words, that means in honor, we are showing each other the right way to do things. We put others before ourselves. "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, and given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide honest things in the sight of all men." Guys, these are the things that God is telling us that He is like. We need to be like God. That's what it's all about. When we go against the grain and act like God, we will find that the family is a good, cohesive, productive unit that goes forward. We will find that family is something that others are going to want to be a part of, and they want to be involved in that family. We need to encourage one another. Guys, it's tough sometimes. Every one of us has different struggles that we challenge, and you know, Lloyd and Brian came out and mowed my yard yesterday, and I'd been gone, it hadn't been done, and I still had some other things that I really I thought I needed to do, and I didn't have time to do it, and I'd have got to it eventually. But they came out and they mowed my yard. You know, and that was encouraging.
But it's a blessing for us too, Clay.
It's just hard for me because I do everything myself. But I really, it's such a joy. I love doing that for other people, though. You know? That's an encouraging thing. I love doing it for others. And I appreciate it so much. And I don't know that there's a one of you that have not done something nice for me. And it's an encouraging thing. And I really think that's the way the body's supposed to be. You know? I think each of us need to strive to do our best to encourage each other in whatever situation things may be. There's so many challenges. And not a one of us is an island. But we all need one another. And so we need to be there to be that encouragement for one another. I want to go to this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And notice what he says. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." You know, I look at that passage and it reminds me of the kind of family we're supposed to have. It reminds me of some of the challenges that can come up within that family. And he says, look, you really got to work to keep the unity. Because it doesn't come natural, because we're human beings and we all have our weaknesses and we all have our faults. And so we've got to really work at it. We endeavor to keep that unity. It doesn't mean it comes natural. In fact, it says it doesn't come natural. The natural thing is to fight and to not have peace. But we need to work hard to always have that peace so that we can have a taste of heaven. I want a taste of heaven. I want it here as long as I'm on this earth. I want it with my family. And that means that I've got to work at it too. I've got to do my best to be who I should be. And that means you need to do your best to be who you should be following Jesus. Guys, you need to look more like Jesus every day. And so do I. Look in the mirror. In verses 15 and 16 of that same chapter, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ," watch this, "from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now I'll tell you what, there's so much in that short passage. It's just enough to blow your mind. I mean, how can God put so much in one passage? I mean, think about the words. The whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. It's compacted by that which every joint supplies. He continues. He says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. In other words, every part of that body is working together and it's doing it to the best of their ability to keep that cohesiveness. Making increase of the body. Causing that body to grow by the cohesiveness that is there and the working together that is there. Unto the edifying of itself. In other words, this body that is cohesive, that's working together, that's bound together, that's working together, is edifying. And edify means that we encourage and build up. See, there's the peace that was talked about in the first couple verses. and doing it in love. Now, I didn't look at the Greek word, but I bet you that's agape. That means that I still treat you good when you haven't been good to me. That's Jesus' love. As the family of God, that's the way we have to act. When Jesus hung that on that cross, you and me were the ones putting those nails in his hands. We need to think about that when you and me get crosswise. And it's bound to happen. It's going to happen. But we've got to keep the love that Christ designed for the body to have, and it will grow and go forward. We need to make that family an inviting place for others to want to be. You know, we need to strive to make the home a place where other children will want to be, a place where when they leave, they want to come back. I've known of a lot of families where children didn't want to be there. It wasn't a pleasant place. It wasn't a happy place. It wasn't a fun place. It was a miserable place. And the last thing they wanted to do was go. And the first thing they wanted to do was get out. It's kind of exciting to me that my kids' friends wanted to come to our house. Not that we did everything right, but we tried to make it an inviting place. That's what the family of God's supposed to be. We need to be the kind of family where our friends are going to want to come to visit. We need to be the kind of family where the children want to come together. If we got problems where the children don't want to come together, we need to figure out what the problems are and get to the root of the cause and stop it. Because as a family, we got to have that inviting characteristic where people feel free to come and we feel free and desirous and can't wait to get back. But all Jesus can do is tell us how to do it. He's not going to make you or me do anything. It's all free will. You can submit to Jesus or Satan. And that's hard saying, isn't it? But there's only two. You know, the Jamaican song, there's two roads before you. Make your choice. One is heaven, one is hell. There's two roads before you. There's two masters. And so we've got to make sure that we become the church that we are supposed to be. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, we recognize the atmosphere that is needing to always be present. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, having your conversation or your manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He's talking about the world around you. They need to see the love in you. They need to be able to look at you and say, I want some of that. That's the kind of family God expects you and me to be. He expects us to be that familiar place, that friendly place that is a place of comfort that others can come to find help and comfort in time of need, to find security. We've got a world of children that don't have any security at home. Church needs to be that security. We need to help to change. You know, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, you know, there's a negative passage, but, you know, who wants to be in that kind of environment? Paul says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. I've seen it happen. Where people that call themselves Christians bite and devour. That's certainly not an inviting place. It's not a place that I want to go. And it's not a place that anybody else wants to go. And so we've got to make sure that we keep things positive and going forward and make this family a place that is an inviting environment for others to want to be. I want to look in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28. And I want to notice the principle that is found in this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28, it says, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you shall see." God is telling Moses, before he goes to the mountain to die, to give encouragement to Joshua to be able to carry out the task. Now, this is what we need to learn. You and me need to encourage one another to go forward and do the job that we have to do. Our job is, number one, go to heaven. And number two, take everybody that we can with us. We must act like a godly family, because the church, it's not only like a family, but it is a family. It's the family of God. Make sure that you do your share and help me to do my share to make that family a wonderful place that God designed it to be. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation, do it now while we stand and sing.